I've had my one. Hi, Rick.
I'm a banana. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. The irony of the whole thing is that we extended the show to 4 hours here for a couple reasons. A, because there was that 9 to noon slot. There was just nothing else out there. And I'll be honest, I'll say that. And we're already here. But also because we wanted to have more time for Tim, who, of course, today has gotten less time than I think at any show over the past month and a half. So there you go. We'll have Tim Riley joining us here in just a moment for the Ministry of Truth. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend. Do we have a sound for Dennis? I have nothing. Wait, hold on. Let me.
Jenny has traffic.
All right, come on.
No,
here's my rap. All right, you're gonna have a good drive today. There ain't no problems on the major roadways. Looking at country club, things will look pretty good like
Robin Hood.
Now I'm moving across the triad, yo. It ain't too bad.
No.
Now things look nice on 68, and I know you ain't gonna be late. So that was your traffic wrap today. Man, let's get some weather from my weather girl. Austin Cavanaugh, come on, give us a weather boy, give it to us. Word.
Oh, there you go. Oh boy, Jenny, it's weather guy, by the way. That is something.
I dig that guy at the end. He's fantastic. Dennis Pitzenberger, Portland Tribune. How are you, sir?
Good Lord, that is wrong on so many levels. There it's is. Just, I mean, I do.
If that's wrong,
I mean, what
I
do here
right.
is what I do here is bad.
Yes.
That is.
Yes, it is.
That makes me look good. So, thank you for playing it. I guess
it's what I do.
Okay.
All right.
We're gonna
do it. And I hate to give you the bum's rush, as they say. So we bring it. We'll talk for a couple minutes here. We'll have Tim do some news because Tim has gotten a little bit of Tim's gotten the fuzzy end of the lollipop, as Marilyn Monroe would say today. Because Tim was here, he was all.
I was talking to Tim.
Shall we count the number of ways in which we got distracted today at 11:40? Now, I don't want any, and just we should clarify a couple things. I don't want to uncork everything and just get back into the whole serenade. I'm sorry, the Tate and Kara. What is that? What we called it, Tate and Kara.
Tate and Kara.
That wasn't that your alter ego before when there was the whole. Was it about porn?
When he peed in my shower?
And that was.
I thought it was
share.
When there was a. It was a porn discussion.
Yeah, when he was looking up the young girl, or not? No,
let's be
not
very
young,
clear about
18-year-old.
Moving on.
I remember that.
Porn.
That's just well, you know, what are you gonna do?
It was their first time.
Strictly for medical and clerical reasons.
The water's all out of my apartment. I'll have to shower here. No, I want to say that wasn't. That we didn't. I don't know that we intended for that to sort of go as long as it did. I'm not saying whatever. It is what it is.
I'm just saying, sorry for sucking so much.
No. And I'm not apologizing. I'm just saying I don't want. It wasn't like I said. I was like, how can I have this take over the entire program? But you know, you just got to let those things kind of work. And it does us no good because people have asked. You either say, well, why is your show turning into Loveline or whatever it is today? But, you know, the thing is, it does us no good to sit here and not talk about the thing that is just sort of sitting there in the room causing all kinds of weirdness and stress. It's like when Sarah and I fight sometimes, which does happen. Sarah and I, every now and again, we'll have some fight, and it just sits there, and we're just like, it's all the same manifestations. Yeah, exactly the same manifestations, where it's like mom and dad fight, and so Tim gathers up his things and goes in his room and pretends that he's a Viking, you know, or whatever. Tim's just in his room reading Homer, you know, and Sarah and I are in here going, we just have to yell at each other on the air, because that's the only way it gets any better. That hasn't worked today, by the way, because everything's just as bad as it was earlier, if not worse. But can't say we didn't try. So we got distracted by that, and then I was talking about Catholic confessionals for like half an hour, and then it was Sarah and Nate again, and then it was Rockstar Supernova. And we'll probably do one more Sarah and Nate session like before the end of the show just to sort of balance it out.
And Dennis is here now, though.
And now Dennis is here. So
I personally think that the, as you put it, the P1 listener is invested in the three of you. Therefore, anyone that would be an alternative listener from a P1 listener, since I love that term, wouldn't they then become more invested in the show?
You know what? Here's the thing: people want to hear about it. They don't want to hear about it. Whatever. We don't fake stuff on the show. We don't make stuff up.
It is actually more embarrassing than anything else that now a lot of people know what's going on in my messed up life.
I mean, it's, we don't make stuff up. We don't, like, set up fights or arguments or any of that other stuff that you hear on other programs. And I won't mention any programs by name, but you hear the stupid, where the fight is obviously contrived and they arrange beforehand that somebody's going to call in and somebody else is going to be pissed off and then there's going to be a resolution. And we don't do any of that here. You know, and so that's why this program is...
No, you begin with hate and then end it with hate.
Thank you, Dennis. Exactly. You boiled it down. God bless you.
Bottom of the page, my friend. Bottom of the page.
Well,
I was no.
What are you
going to
do?
I am going to say right now, with absolute certainty, that I will do. I will take on your. This is how certain I am. I will take on double your push-ups that you owe, if I do not show up to Dante's tonight.
You are going to be there.
I will be there.
Oh, whatever.
No.
Because last time there was a babysitter issue.
No, we had the babysitter set up, and then you look at me at the end of the show and go, oh, by the way, it's at 10 o'clock, and I looked at you like, okay.
I'm not going to be able to do that.
I'm not going to be able to make it there. Yeah. So I pledge on all that is holy in my fanhood towards Storm and everything else that she does. I will be there, both as a fan of you guys and as a fan of Storm.
But mainly as a fan of us.
Mainly as a fan of you.
Thank you. I won't
be bugging Davey like every other media source in the world. I think that'll be the wonderful thing for you, possibly, is people will walk up and say, hey, Sarah, how's our, you know.
Well, I think not to overstate our own whatever, because nobody's really there for us. But I think we try to draw a little bit of attention away from him because I think he's got enough people going, how do you feel, Davey?
Well,
Are you stressed out?
And you know he feels like crap. He just wants to have his girlfriend back.
Totally. And I mean, last week, he totally snuck out. I said this last Tuesday. They came back and like 10 seconds before they came back to show the initial bottom three where she was, he leaned over. He's like, I'm going to hit the back three. He's like, I'll see you later. I'm out of here. You know? And I was like, that's odd. And then it hit me. I'm like, ah. And he wasn't out the door 2 seconds. And they came back and like, the bottom three, blah, 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 Storm. And
everybody started looking for him.
And everybody wants a piece of that guy. And everybody wants something from her or him or them. And everybody's being their pal and their best friend. I've been friendly forever,
this?
You know. And I
just look
That guy has got to just be one step above punching the next person who tries to get in his face about Storm, you know.
Well, how about this? If you're listening to this show and you see him smile, maybe get his attention. Give him a thumbs up, a wave, whatever.
Give him a high five.
Leave him alone.
leave him the hell alone.
I know we're even leaving him alone at this point.
Seriously. if he wants
to, I haven't talked to him in a while. We used to talk a lot.
And again, it's not like we don't, you know, we love those guys.
Well, they're as great as you can imagine. You see them, and they will always converse with you.
I figure he wants to say hey. He wants to talk, whatever. He'll find us. He'll call us. If that guy just wants to close the door and just weep silently on the floor while pouring Jack Daniels over his body and then rolling around in it to absorb it through his skin, who could blame him at this point? Speaking of which, your paper had a fine article.
Yeah, they did a little thing. Obviously,
now that we can exploit Storm a little more here.
And it shows Davey sitting there, like, drinking his beer. Go away.
Was it at Dante's?
There it is.
Oh, yeah.
That was last week.
Oh, that was last week. That was that a-hole photographer. Who,
yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
No. I don't know. It actually was a pretty good story. But it does make us revisit what we just talked about. Is just leave the guy alone. Let him enjoy where they are as a group, where they are as a couple, and just let it go. If you get his attention, smile and let it go.
And here's the thing, and she said this yesterday, and it's totally true. You know what? It sucks in a way. And other people go, oh, it's so tough. And she said this too. It's so tough to be in a national show. But you know what? Every flaw, every misstep, and again, you're up there on television a couple times a week, and some of those times the whole country's voting and saying you suck. The odds are, and this is not a reflection of Storm talent, I'm simply speaking, mathematically speaking, numerically speaking, the odds are that she will lose. I'm not saying that, I'm saying it's a numbers game. There's six people left, winner. It's like when they say the odds are you will get divorced. Just mathematically speaking, the odds are against her, so the odds are that at some point they'll go, you're just not good enough. And that sucks. It's got
to
be stressful.
Well, then you got to listen to Dave Navarro, a butt wipe of society, telling you that you suck. I mean, I'm sorry.
And Gilby with his horrible hair.
Oh, Jesus. Who stapled that thing to his head?
But in the future, you know what? It's that old phrase. You're going to look back and laugh. They are totally going to look back. They're like, remember that time you were on nationwide TV with that douche? You know?
Listener parties. When you go to listener parties, you talk for a week about going, more than that.
Yeah.
You know, a couple weeks. We're going to be here. And I know I've watched you run through the crowd, and it is thousands of people, Rick, over here, Rick. You have to deal with that because you set yourself up for it. It is unfair for Davey to go into Dante's and try to enjoy this, and everyone pull him in 20 different directions.
Totally.
So I feel like renting the guy, I mean, we should like pool up money, rent the guy a hotel.
Taser.
A taser would be another option, but I was thinking more like a hotel room with a plasma screen and that bottle of Jack Daniel's so he can enjoy it in a little peace and quiet.
We'll get Scott here in a second. I would be remiss if I did not. Oh, and I have a sounder made for him, and I didn't put it up.
Okay, so he has a sounder, but I don't, besides like the big gay lesbian parade with homosexuals and nachos.
Shut your hole.
Oh, sorry.
This is, no. I know I was going to say, I haven't made a program for Bruce Engler.
That sounded pretty good.
Former Godlike.
Dennis, a lesbian parade with nachos.
let's welcome to the show our former Godlike program director, Bruce Engler. Hello,
hi,
sir.
Hi, Bruce.
Hello, everybody. Hi, and I just wanted to call up and chastise you, Rick, for not recognizing fantastic radio today.
Which was?
You've been putting yourself down, and you pay attention to these guys who call up and carp about people arguing on the radio. I mean, the segment with Sarah is by far the most compelling segment of the program since the day Christina left the show.
Thanks for that, Eddie.
I mean, the entire first 2 hours, minus the confessional digression, was really the best 2 hours of the program since I say the last day of Christina. I mean, it was fantastic and compelling. And the downside I saw was I could detect you guys actually pulling back somewhat from it.
Well, because I could sense that it was going to veer into a lot of threats and profanity at any minute. And I only got 7 seconds.
Much better, actually. But, I mean, you guys are part of our family. We all want to know what's going on with you. And we really appreciate it when Sarah cares, you know, needs our help. And we can all be part of helping her out through this.
Well, thanks, Bruce. By the way, hey, the show stunk after we brought Dennis on.
No, I
and
don't
you've
mean
done
that
nothing
either.
Good since 2002 when Christina left.
No, everything I don't mean any of that. I just mean it was great.
Well,
boy, I tell you, you read again. See, one guy calls up and says something, and you put yourself down for it. I don't mean to put down the rest of the show. I mean, it was fantastic.
I wasn't really apologizing for that segment as such. It was really more poor Tim. It's more Tim than anything else because Tim and
Tim will understand because he knows when there's good radio going on.
I suppose. Brian Jennings is smiling somewhere right now.
But that's right. And I think he lives over in the central Oregon these days. Wow. But anyway, it was fantastic. And the only reason I reached back to the Christina show was I was trying to find another show that had the same sort of emotional component. I wasn't speaking particularly about the length of time between the two.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's all just a lot of clenching and
although you probably could pull out the double wide trailer song and play it for Sarah now.
Totally.
Yeah, no, that
I am realizing this.
Can I just tell you though that when you were describing Nate squealing off, was it in what car? Tell me it was in the Taurus.
No, it was in his 1987 battered Honda Civic.
Yeah, I was totally picturing you. In like
blasting like the street or Jay-Z
blasting Molly Hatchet's Flirting with Disaster out of one speaker. I was totally picturing when you described that. Here's the thing, Sarah. It was, and you know I love you. It
no,
was
it's
so,
totally, it's the trashiest thing.
I was picturing
almost humorous.
You,
I almost laughed last night.
It was so trashy that in my head, though, I was picturing you in a wedding dress with a broken heel and like a bottle being, I don't love you. So.
Of Sarah on her hands and knees begging him to leave her.
That was creepy. That was some effed up stuff for him to say.
I've never heard him speak like that, and it's kind of weird. I think that, you know, since
that's
they kind of demand him.
Conscious.
Yeah, that he
I
was,
mean, it really was like out of some bad soap opera. I mean, this was wonderful, guys. You guys shouldn't have pulled back.
Well, thanks, Bruce. This is my life.
I'll try to get divorced tomorrow.
No. But, I mean, if it's really happening and we can help, I hope we've helped, Sarah.
I hope so, too.
All right. Thank you, Bruce.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. No, former Godlike program director, Bruce Engler.
That thing really did weird me out. That caught me off guard.
I can tell
when he goes too deep, and he was just trying to be funny, and it just did not work. That was
I
awful.
Have an email from Nate Simabox that I haven't read yet, and I don't know what it says, because I don't want to read it now. Because I read it now, it's going to weird me out, and I don't want to get defocused, as they say. I was trying. And I hope you don't feel like I abandoned you during that phone call with Nate, because I tried to step back.
No, that's okay.
I didn't want to step in and be like, because here's what he didn't need was to feel like both of you and I were on the radio, on the phone, punching on him. But that was a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
When he said you were on your hands and knees begging for it. And I don't know.
I think that's a reflection of maybe something that happened to him.
I'm not going to say that because I don't know Nate that well. it's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. It's a weird...
Can I chime in on this?
It's a weird thing to say.
I'm just saying that, you know, no matter what happens, just you have to look at it from two distinct points of view. You can either... It's okay to analyze it, which is what you guys are doing now, and realize what... You know, what has happened for reasons, and there's, you know, a chain of events that came from then to right now and discussing it openly. You also have to look at it from the other point of view, which is, if that's where you want to be, you have to take a distinctive stand in the very, you know, very few days coming up to nip it in the bud and make a conscious effort to go forward and realize that if you have something like this happen again, cut all ties. You have to, like, let it, you know, make a conscious decision to repair it, move on, and be positive with the understanding that both of you realize that if it happens again, we're walking down a path of disaster.
Well, it's, you know, it's like, and they always, and I'm not saying that this is the case, but they always, it's that thing about if the guy ever hits you, puts his hands on you. I'm not saying they just done that. And there's two schools of thought. There's the, it happens once, and that's it. You're out, you're gone, you're done. F that guy.
And that's why I broke up with him the first time, because I was just done.
Yeah, and you know, and then there's the school of thought that says, the first time that happens, you know, that you go to, first of all, you go to counseling. You go and you find it the first time a guy puts his hands on you like that.
Yeah.
Or a woman, because, you know, it sounds like a joke, but there are women who are violent and who are physically aggressive. And so there's the school of thought that says the first time it happens, you know, you find a counselor, you sit down, and the law is laid down that if you ever do that again, it's over, it's done, and I will never speak to you again. You know?
Well, it doesn't even have to be a counselor. This has to be something that you guys work out. And I'm trying to be positive. I'm just saying, look at it. Analyze it and understand why it happened. But once you have come to that point, then drop it and be positive about it.
The thing that weirds me out about that phrase, the you were on your hands and knees begging for it, is it's just the thing that weirds me out is I just don't know what is in your head that's the image you come up with to say. And I think it's the implicit and I'm not trying to imply anything, but I'm saying that what that makes me think of is it's like one shade away from she was asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that is what he's thinking, but that's what it makes me think of. When you say you were on your hands and knees begging, well, I guess it is what it's saying. You're begging for it. So it's just, it's creepy. And I'm not saying that he meant anything by it, but goddamn, it's a weird thing to say.
I was actually really disheartened to hear that, because I was hoping that he would come on the air and not say something like that and make it seem like we are more stable than we are, because we are more stable than this. This just happens to be a really crappy thing that is getting continuously drug out that won't go away, and nothing's been resolved, because I just still don't think he understands the whole LiveJournal thing.
Well, it seems like, yeah. I mean, it seems like public is public and private is private. And, you know, and one isn't the other. And I don't know that it does any favors to single you out as paradoxically the person who presumably matters the most, yet on the other hand, the person who's not allowed to access whatever. So,
yet someone like an ex is allowed to comment on whatever he wants.
It's
know?
Just, it's the whole thing. It's just
the whole
a big
thing
ball
is
of weird.
Awful.
It's
and
just,
I have to say my comments, take that with a grain of salt, because I know you, Sarah, and I obviously know Rick. I think I've met Nate once, and it was for like 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know him. So, I mean, what I say doesn't necessarily apply to what, you know, your world is like. I mean, because I wasn't there. And unfortunately, I missed chunks of the conversation on air in between, like, driving here and then talking on the phone and then, you know, getting out of my car and coming up here. So, I mean, I'm just saying, with my whatever I might say doesn't really hold water with anything more than general advice.
Let's do this. This is Scott. Hey, Scott, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, what's going on,
what's
Rick?
Up, hey.
Hey, I just wanted to say, like, something about what you were talking about earlier is how we tend to date people who are, like, our exes.
Right.
And also, how sometimes our significant others will blame us for something that their ex did.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is when you date somebody, you're having to fix everything that everybody they ever dated had wrong with them.
Yeah, like for example, I was dating this girl, and her ex-boyfriend was really possessive.
Yeah.
And just wouldn't let her go out with her friends or do anything. When I was dating her, I was just like, well, go out with your friends. I don't care.
Right.
But then after we broke up, all I heard was,
You never go out with your my friends.
Well, it's the same. It's like people, you know, people date the same type of people over and over again, trying to fix something that went wrong 10 years ago.
Right.
So yeah, it's or you know, to replace something that they felt like they did not have.
Yeah, I will admit that I do that. I mean, I dated a girl that was a redhead, and I dated a girl that had dreads, you know, like separately, and now I'm looking for a redhead
yes.
girl with dreads.
Well, we'll just get to, we'll tell Sarah to quit bathing for a while. All right.
There hey, but I just wanted to say also, just real fast, if I could.
Yes.
Clyde, Paige, and Larry brought it last night at Dante's.
I did not go to Dante's last night, but when you said they crushed it.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty good. It was pretty awesome.
All right. There you go. Thank you, sir.
I miss Clyde. Right, I never have a chance to talk to Clyde anymore.
Let's, Clyde doesn't bring us flowers anymore. Let's take a break here. Oh, what time is it? 2:45. Clearly that news is not, I feel so bad. We have to, let's buy Tim some flowers.
I'll go hug him.
Don't. Let's all go not hug Tim. Let's all go stand in the doorway and inform him that we won't hug him. That's how we don't know how to love. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland. We're here with Dennis Pitsenbarger for the Portland Tribune. You stay there. Back after this. Don't forget, like us at 3:06. Don and Mike at 7. John and Jeff at 11. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. All right, we now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson radio program. It is 2:52. Rick, this is great. Rick, you still haven't told us about the woman on fire in your kitchen that you mentioned the other day.
What?
You were here. I only mentioned it once, to be fair. It drives me effing crazy when you teach tease stories and never get to them. Horns up to you, Rick. You're still the best thing on the radio,
there
Dan.
There was a woman in your kitchen on fire?
Just her hair.
Laura?
No, I would just, wouldn't I just say Laura? No,
I don't
there was
know.
A
what
woman...
other women do you have in your house?
Don't you wish you knew? Zing! No, there was a woman.
You do look pretty close to Ace of Spades. Ace of Hearts.
Ace of
Yes, Lemmy was at my house. Rick, come here to help! There's a joke there somewhere. No, Laura had. Oh, there's no time to get into it now. I'll have Laura come on maybe tomorrow and tell the story, but there was a woman's hair caught fire in our house the other day.
Oh, that's a bad smell.
I wasn't there for it, but that's only one. See, here's the thing. That's only one part of the story.
Oh, there's a lead up to that.
Your dog walker?
Amazingly enough, no. Our dog walker won't come over anymore. Our dog walker dumped us. We were dumped by, and that's a story I never did tell because I know there's nothing more gripping than a guy talking about the problems he's having with his dog. So, no, but long story short, our dog walker dumped us because, you know, Max is a. I'll just real briefly. We got him when he was six, so we've trained him fairly well in certain things, but there's certain traits. Not unlike with men. There's certain traits that you try to get out of them, but it's just been worn in too deeply years before you got them. And, Max, how do I put this? Max would go many, many months where he would be fine. And then he would inexplicably turn all mean and angry.
Didn't you have a blanket party the last time that
Sometimes
happened?
At the people closest to him. I'm sorry?
Didn't you have a blanket party one day for him?
When I first got him, because it was the first time he did it, actually, because, and I swear to God, I'll quit talking about my dog, but...
You know, Bruce is right now going, oh, what happened?
Reagan, it was doing so good! And then the whole show just went up to talk about the dog. And, nobody wants to hear that. People don't know the Lars. I do that pretty well. And it's all about leaning forward. I love Bruce.
Well, Bruce's number one thing is good radio. It doesn't matter that it's my life.
It doesn't matter that
I live in a trailer.
And we should say that we love Bruce.
Oh, we do love Bruce.
Bruce is the best thing
but
that
Bruce
ever happened to this
that.
Show.
Yes.
But it's so funny that it's so great and just classic Bruce, though, that he would call him and be like, Sarah's problems are great.
That's because it's not your life, Rick. That's why it's great for you.
I'm not saying I think it's great. I'm saying that's what Bruce is. Bruce Aguilar, former godlike program director, called him. Sarah's emotional breakdown is fantastic. Can you ever do this on Thursdays? Can you make sure that you can do as much time on it and then tease it and sponsor it? Hook it to an annual. No, but when we first got the dog, he was fine. We came home one day, and he went crazy. We walked in the front door, and I know he's just a small little dog, but again, those jaws only need to fit around your jugular to kill you. And he just went crazy, biting, snapping, snarling, so much, and it was just such a shift that we thought he was sick. We thought, not rabies, but we thought... You know, we thought there was something, because there are dogs get a lot of, they'll get like parasites and stuff that actually cause really bad mood swings. And so we thought that he'd gotten sick or that he had been injured somehow, because, you know, a really injured animal won't let you near him. And we thought, oh my God, he's been really injured. That's why he's so snappy, blah, blah, blah. So I'd have Matt Peterson, who's like 80 feet tall, come over and like get this like a 12 pound poodle under control. It was all very embarrassing. But he was fine. We thought he was better. Max promised that he'd changed. And then he just went crazy on the dog walker like a month and a half ago. Like the dog walker walked in and he hello, Max, I'm here to take it. He was just all and just lunged at her. Just went at her
like she right was, at her shin?
Like she was made out of ham, like the guy says. So anyway, so no.
You could walk your own dog. It's not that it's, you know.
No, there was, but there's, well, no, because we're just not home. That's the thing is Lara works 7 to 8. And I work like 7 to 7 usually. And so there's just, you know, and you.
I work that much. I walk all three of my dogs.
Yeah, but okay. Okay, bastard. Why don't you just take care of my dog? I'm here all day.
Well, I'm at work all day too. Well, not technically.
Do you just leave your dog unattended for like 13 hours?
My dog has a dog gate and he is out. All three
okay,
dogs.
Okay, I don't have a yard. You son of a bitch. So.
So get a plastic sheet, a little dog.
You know, get a plastic sheet?
Little dog.
Like it's a retarded child or something.
Little dog containment center.
Just get it plastic pants, Rick. Lock it in a closet.
Buy a diaper.
Shove some food under the door and spray it whenever it disobeys you. It's not a baby. So,
oh.
You know what I'm saying? No! Look, a baby. That's the thing is, right, with a baby, you can
yeah,
just
that's
put it
what
in the
I do. I put my baby in the kitchen.
You can put your baby in a, what is it, a pen, which is a cage.
It's not a
you
pen.
Can it's like a crate.
You can put
no
your,
top.
Totally. You can put your baby inside a plastic cage. You can't do that with a dog, because then they'll bite you. Your baby doesn't have any teeth. What's it going to do?
She's got a couple.
All right. What the hell are we even talking about?
I don't know.
This is our good friend, Mike Chase, joining us. Should I not pick this up? You sort
no,
of cringed.
No, I don't know. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Are you calling about Batman or Superman today?
Neither.
No, yes.
I'm thanks for taking my call because, you know, last time I was on, since I've been on your, you know, the whole Fat Boy in Court thing.
Last time you called it, you were trying to instigate. Just as I was making up with Court and Fat Boy and smoothing to Mike Chase calls up, they don't mean it. They're nothing. Death to them.
Right. And since that time, probably on average once a week, I have been harassed by one of your audience.
Well, that's
oh, really?
That's what we do.
I know. By the way, good Agler impression. It's good to hear the Colonel, as I used to call him, on the phone again.
He's so great. We love Bruce, but I mean, yeah. he really does it. And I'm not just fantastic.
No, but we used to make, you know, it's kind of the sort of the sport of the day was to sort of, you know, who could come up with the best Bruce Agler impression. And yours is, it's very simple. It's very good.
But I got mine from Trey Yant. I basically am just mimicking Trey Yant, who is our former general sales manager, yeah.
Yeah, Trey. Okay, well, so I just want to talk real quick about the Sarah thing, because I was driving from, I was thinking of Tim Riley, this is all like a Rick Emerson day for me, because I took my friend to St. John's, and I started thinking about Tim Riley, and then I started thinking about your show, so I turned on the radio, and I joined you in progress about something that sounded fairly serious about Sarah's domestic dispute there.
It was an unpleasant day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it just so happens that I just wrote a huge 10-page paper about domestic abuse in my psychology classes.
We should be very clear that there was no physical of any kind. There was no.
Oh, good, because that's an important distinction. Because I learned this, and this is very surprising to me, is that abusive men, apparently, according to this big study, are not the kind that lose their temper. You know, if he loses his temper, it doesn't necessarily make him abusive. Abusive guys are like a whole different animal, and they actually sort of plan out ways to, you know, set up controlling situations for the woman, and, you know, they create situations that she can't possibly, you know, they're untenable, she can't possibly succeed, and then he has a reason to abuse her. You know, all this crazy stuff that they kind of plan out, and that's a lot different from some guy who just loses temper.
I think this is just a And to be fair, sometimes a joint loss of temper that happens.
Right.
And I think
right.
I think Nate and Sarah are pretty skilled at provoking each other.
Yes, we poke at each other.
It's kind of like a Days and Wine and Roses thing.
So join the human race then. I mean that's
yeah. I mean it's just I'm not trying to make it sound like anybody's problems are any worse than anybody else's. But there is yeah. We should be very clear about that. That it was just sort of just a big verbal blow up and an argument.
It's,
or whatever.
It's a fight over live journal and ex girlfriends.
Yeah.
Wow, so. That sounds really
Well, you know, I said I'm fond of you. And
then we're all going to do each other's hair later and go to the mall.
No, I'm fond of you too, Mike. You should come visit us over here sometime.
You know, I would like to. I'm having some bumper stickers printed out that say, "Bad Boy did it." And I'm just going to, like,
fantastic.
Those.
God bless you, sir.
That's awesome.
All right, thank you, man.
Pass them out.
Right,
anyway, thank you. Good to hear you guys on the radio, and Godspeed. See you later.
All right, thank you. There you go.
Bye, Mike.
How does he have our hotline number? He called the hotline.
Oh.
I didn't give
him
that.
He's Mike
number.
Chase. Come on.
I'm sorry. All right.
No, he has magical powers. You know.
Okay. Let's see. Let me, with the whole thing, try to find the...
Thanks for calling and cheering us up.
Yeah, that's what he does.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Let's,
After hearing him talk about domestic abuse, I feel like this is the dumbest argument.
And let's be very clear that there was no touching of anybody. Nobody hit anybody. Nobody punched anybody. But it doesn't mean that it's enjoyable to go through
I punched him with
either.
My words.
Yeah. Boy, don't you miss Jolie today?
Yes.
On a day like today, don't you wish you had Jolie?
I might actually call her after
Nate,
the show.
Nate, you gotta buy her a diamond! mailman Chris, hello, sir.
Hey, the Rick Emerson Show now with 33% more dysfunction.
Yes, yeah. It's true. We put the ass in something. I don't know where I was going with that.
You know what?
And you know, isn't it weird to think that just, first of all, that this show has gone by so quickly today, and yet it's longer, and yet we got to no news of any kind, really, at all, even in the news hour, and we went from talking about Clyde having relations with a horse.
Cow.
To the Nate thing. To, I mean, this whole show has just been so bizarre.
What the hell am I doing here?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. You said something this morning. You mentioned the Onion, but you weren't talking about the Onion News, were you?
Oh, no, the Onion Weekly radio address. I didn't get to anything today.
Okay. Well, no, you didn't get the Week in Geek. You didn't get the Onion. You got the Clown, the rock star, Amanda Moyer, Gary Baumgarten, Dennis Bonaducci is in the house.
Yeah.
Isn't that a great name, Dennis?
Where's my drugs?
You know what?
Why do you have a penis?
This has been such an emotionally draining day for
everyone.
You're
telling me I'm going to cry in 3 minutes. I'm just going to go to the bathroom and lock myself in
there. No, you're Bruce. Why don't you cry on the air?
Oh, totally.
Can you cry on a Thursday?
I say it's a wash. We just go 49 and stay there for the day.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right, man. We'll see you tonight.
We will see you tonight.
There you go. Thank you, mailman.
He has a great sounder, too.
Bruce?
No.
Oh, the mailman, Chris.
Yeah.
Make your own sounder. You have you get the radio thing. You got.
I bet Scotty could whip one up.
Scotty, make Dennis a sounder.
He does have his meeting today.
Oh yeah.
Got to prove himself.
Prove you love us. We'll leave you.
Get some crazy cuts of Danny Bonaducci.
We'll leave you standing outside a liquor store. All right. How do you feel, Sarah?
I actually feel better.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it was actually the Mike Chase thing at the very end that made me feel better, because everyone has their problems, but the fact of the matter is, at least I'm not in a relationship where somebody is, you know, physically abusing
me.
Well,
and you wouldn't, and that we know, and I know, that you wouldn't stand for that if it happened.
And I'm still frustrated, but I'm a lot less angry than I was.
Well, what are you going
to
do?
But I don't even know how to even begin to talk to him, so we'll see.
I'm sure Bruce has some ideas on how you can begin that. Bruce would be like, you know, Bruce would want us to do that either. Save it for our listener party. And we have a confessional set up. And then Nate can get in the booth, and he can confess. And then the audience will come up with his penance.
That's
come
actually
on.
Good.
That's, come on!
That's
a great idea.
Sons of bitches.
We should all go beg Tim's forgiveness.
Yeah.
All right. Dennis?
Hey, Dennis.
It's coming up in your world. You got the Tribune. What do you... What are you talking about?
This week's Tribune on Friday will be the Mercedes-Benz E550, their new revamp on their E-Series sedan. And the new, I will only continually pimp this, that September 24th, on Portland's new CW, we will have the Fuel Show on broadcast network television. Bam, right there twice every weekend.
All right, then.
Oh, can I just throw something in?
Yes.
I just got broken up with via email.
No.
No.
No. Can I read it?
No.
What's your name, son of a bitch? You save it. Read it tomorrow.
That's weak.
Yeah.
Well, that's happened before, though, hasn't it?
In fact, didn't...
Well, hold on, let me ask you this. Just as a capper here.
No, it was like a threat.
I'm pretty sure the last time you got...
You flagged me a little too much today. I have skin like leather, but this is too much. I don't want to talk to you or see you for a long, long, long time.
I'm pretty sure the last time he broke up with you was during the show as well. And then once right before the show.
Yeah. No, this is the first time he said, sorry.
Well, there you go. What a day. This is all... whose fault is this? Dennis, pick somebody. Don't say Jews.
Me.
All right, it's all Dennis'
fault. It's my fault. And you know what? It's my fault that Tim didn't get enough news. I'll just take that bullet, too. Tim, I'm sorry. It's my fault.
All right. Well, we got this. Well, I won't. I'll tell you what. You know, there's just no time. So, well, sorry to end on a huge downer like that. What are you going to do? I guess we'll recap everything tomorrow. Don't forget, we're going to be at Dante's tonight. And I'm imagining consuming lots and lots and lots of drinks. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note. Tell you what, we're all going to be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Like us next, kids. As always, it's a pleasure having you out there, even on the days like today. So we all hang together. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. Insert all the normal stuff here. Like us next. Don and Mike at 7. See you tomorrow. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't let pressure scramble down. See you soon.